Welcome to the Living Spiritfully podcast. Here's your host for today, Paul Gloro.
It is our final episode of the Living Spiritfully podcast of 2023. And it is, actually not exactly the last episode, the last proper episode. Next week, we do have a bonus. But I'm so thrilled because we're here with Crystal Eves. We're talking about Capricorn, and I'm sure we're also going to talk a little bit about the winter solstice that happens in another day or two, because the winter solstice kicks off Capricorn season.
It does. Yeah. It does. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Crystal.
Thanks for having me on here. Yeah, it's true. The Capricorn is the start of winter. So the solstice and Capricorn are deeply intertwined. I really, it's one of my favorite times of the year, actually.
Same.
You like it too?
Yeah.
Why do you like it? Because I'll tell you why I like it after.
Well, I just, you know, there's something about the whole idea of darkness, it being the longest night of the year, but also the opportunity for us to go and search for where the light is, to find that light within and celebrate it. Kind of like Sagittarius is all about bringing the light, the artificial light in the dark times. I just love that day is an opportunity to observe that in our lives.
Oh, that's really cool. That is not why I like it. I really like it because I actually can feel in my body. Like, and it usually takes a day or two, maybe even three, and I start to feel the lengthening of the day and then what it's doing in my body. And I know, so on the solstice, I'm like, oh, I made it. I made it through that dark season. And now it's going to start getting lighter and lighter. And I know the energizing effect that has on the body and on my psyche generally. So I really look forward to knowing that slow decline of the light is, that's it. And now we're coming out the other side. I'm just like, it's, I'm so happy for it. Yeah, when it happens.
I love that. The image that I saw in my mind is that now we're starting to orient towards life again, things starting to come to life.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I studied a little bit of circadian rhythm. And so I kind of know like the mechanism by which that, that happens in the body. And then, you know, there's like, as light goes into your eyes, it sort of affects some of the chemistry that's going on, and it delays the melatonin release in the body. So that just sort of like, and then it makes you just feel more alert. And then I just like, I like that awake feeling. As much as I like sleeping, because I really do, I really love that awake feeling. And when we get to the summer solstice, which is the start of Cancer, I always feel a little depressed, because I'm like, oh no, here it comes. Now that was the longest day we had, right? So I get to enjoy the opposite of that.
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome. So now with Capricorn season starting, let's talk a little bit about the Capricorn archetype, because again, we had our Capricorn session with you recently, and once again, you helped me fall even more in love with the sign. And now Capricorn was a challenge for me, or is a challenge for me. My father's a Capricorn.
Okay.
And I dated many Capricorns for a period in my life. So,
right.
So yeah, it was a bit challenging, but now I understand them. I keep on understanding them a little bit more thanks to you. So let's talk a little bit about the Capricorn.
Capricorn. Well, Capricorn is what we call a cardinal earth sign. So it's grounded in reality. It's a practical sign. It's an achieving sign. It's realistic about what is and is not possible, what is and is not actually happening. Capricorn is an energy that gets things done in the world. It can just keep marching forward, just like the days march longer, longer, longer. Capricorn just marches, marches, marches toward what it wants. And, success comes to Capricorn fairly easily because they know how to get it done. They show up, they're responsible. They're responsible young. I love Capricorn energy because I just find First of all, I find them hilarious because they're so sarcastic and they have this dry sense of humor, and everything they're saying is sort of like it's got this dose of reality in it that you can see, and it just makes me laugh. But it also has this feel, this absurdity about it, in the sense that, a really aware Capricorn kind of realizes that they're chasing something that may not be meaningful. like if you're dealing with a Capricorn who's not really that aware, then they're going to just be like, well, these things are important, and you've got to get a big house, and you got to get money, and you got to do these things, get a good job, and march forward toward it. But if you're with a really aware Capricorn, they're going to go, I'm doing all these things, but isn't it kind of ridiculous? Because they can also see the reality in the chase, and that I'm just going to, at some point, just going to drop dead. So why am I doing all this? Like, they can see reality in that sense too. So I find them very amusing in that way. You want a Capricorn running things, and you want a Capricorn in charge, because they're going to make sure it happens. They're going to show up on time. They're going to make sure everything's running properly, and they're going to see opportunity where it exists. So it's a pretty good sign.
One of the things that you had said in our session, and I mentioned that to you before we hit record, where you were talking about the challenges with Capricorn is that sometimes they and I'm going to paraphrase here, so if you can remind me exactly, but about the whole if they don't see something about the value of, I know I just said it to you and now my mind's going blank.
No, I remember. So Capricorns will, especially when they're younger, will understand value based on what society values. Because they're like, hey, I'm living in this system. Why not operate within this system? So this system has a scoreboard that looks like your bank account. It has a scoreboard that looks like your bikini body. It has a scoreboard that looks like these things that society says are important. So if I have these things, I'm winning. And if I don't have these things, I'm going to try and work to get them because I want to be winning. If you don't value these things, I don't know what you're doing. That's kind of where they don't understand a person who drops out of society, who lives off the grid, who isn't trying to sell their work, who just wants to be free. They don't get it, because it just doesn't fit within this paradigm. They're like, we're playing this game. Why aren't you playing? And why are you playing it this way? I don't understand. And so Capricorns really, they really have to have other elements in their personality to be able to appreciate that about another person.
The image, and I think you shared this at one point too with about the goat. The goat is the symbol of, well, the goat fish is the symbol of Capricorn. But about climbing to the mount to the top of the mountain, that's kind of like what what Capricorn does. It works hard to get to the top of the mountain for the highest vantage point of life, or
To win. I'm higher than you. I did it. This is the problem that can sometimes happen with Capricorns, is they can get to the top and they go, what did I do this for? There's not even anybody up here to pat me on the back. Everybody I want to talk to is underneath me there, and I can't even see them from here, So this is a dilemma that sometimes Capricorns have, is they can be really high achieving, and then when they do achieve things, they might say to themselves, well, what was that for? Was that for me? Was that for society? Why am I playing this game anyway? Because once they know they can win it, then they can question it. So if you see a Capricorn who's going through like a soul search time, it's quite often because either they have achieved nothing and they're feeling really terrible about themselves, or they've achieved everything they thought would make them happy and it didn't. So this becomes a problem for them. This is where I like Ryder Carroll's idea about what a goal is. I thought it was the most beautiful expression of what a goal is. Are you aware of who Ryder Carroll is, the
He's
bullet
the
journal
bullet
guy?
journal.
Have I mentioned this before, his idea of the lighthouse?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, it was brilliant. I really, really loved it. He goes, well, The best thing to do when you're making a goal, now goals are a Capricorn thing. So the best thing to do when making a goal is to shoot, to align the goal with your values. So if your value is, I want to be a healthy person, then maybe my goal would be, I'm going to eat, I'll get to a certain weight, I'll work out at the gym this much, maybe I'll run a marathon, different sort of things like that. He says, but don't make the goal, I'm going to get to a certain weight, or I'm going to run a marathon, because once you do it, it's over. And once you get there, like, you don't know when you name the goal. This is what he said. You don't know when you name the goal if it's actually going to be meaningful to you until you get closer to it. And so if the goal is the thing you're really, really shooting for, and you have to abandon it because it's not really measuring up as you're approaching, you can feel really lost. But if you're tied in more with your value system, you just name another goal. Just name another goal, name another goal. So Capricorns are really, really goal oriented, and I think they would benefit from sort of thinking about the goals in a way that it ties into some larger sense of who they are. And that means that if they fail at a goal, or if the goal is not really the ultimate fulfilling experience they were expecting, it's okay. It doesn't really shadow the path. You're still on the path. So he says, like, the goals are like lighthouses, and they sort of point you towards something, but they're not the destination. They're never the destination, the lighthouse. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that when I saw that. So I would encourage people to check that out. That was Nick Milo's Linking Your Thinking podcast or YouTube with Ryder Carroll.
Okay, awesome. I'll put that link in the show's notes for anybody that is interested in checking that out. Now let's talk about like Capricorn season itself. What can Capricorns and people in general look forward to in the coming month?
Oh, in the coming months, well, we're coming out of a retrograde for Mercury, and Mercury's been hovering around Sagittarius and Capricorn. So if you're one of the people who's had some like difficulties with communications or any of those technical things that are sometimes associated with those Mercury retrogrades, they may be winding up. What usually happens, however, is that we get to revisit what we're doing. So we're sort of going back over some of the same things that we were going over before. So sometimes we might just have a goal, then revisit that and reform that goal, or we might start something and then refine it. And so we're progressing through it. I think the actual retrograde shadow isn't even, like, sort of extends beyond the Capricorn period. But the idea is that we might be in a process during that time where things are starting to revisiting and refining and so on. One of the things that is happening that I did want to talk about relative to Capricorn is that, like, this year, Pluto is, like, this upcoming year, Pluto is moving out of Capricorn, where it has been since 2008, very long period of time. It's sort of like a glacial sort of effect, and moving through all of the Capricorn people since 2008, slowly challenging them and at various times to transform. So we have the last hurrah of Pluto. It's happening between the end of this calendar year and the early part of Capricorn, like, season in 2024. And if you're born around the 19th of January, so you're at the very end of Capricorn, you might be in a deep transformation at this point, and you might be following through with that transformation right up until the fall of 2024, at which time Pluto's out finally of Capricorn and off into Aquarius. So one of the important pieces of this period that we're coming into right now is that we have, like, kind of the last hurrah of Pluto, right as the season, as the year is switching to the new year, and we're going to have, like, the la its last kick at the can. When Pluto first came into Capricorn back in 2008, you'll remember we had a banking crisis that happened. So as it goes out, sometimes it kicks the door on the way out, right? So we're not sure, exactly what's going to be happening, but typically what occurs is that institutions that we feel are entrenched deeply can be challenged when Pluto moves through Capricorn. And so the banking system was a pretty stable institution. What institution is going to be challenged in 2024? That's left to be seen, but I think you're going to get a real hint of it as you come into the beginning part of this year and even the end of this next year and the end of this year that we're currently in.
Right. Didn't, because Pluto retrogrades for like 6 months out of the year, right? So he's very slow moving through. That's why it takes him like almost 20 years to go through a sign. Yeah. Didn't he already went into Aquarius this year, then March. Moved out. And stuff started to happen around the Pluto and Aquarius stuff at the beginning of this year, didn't it?
Yeah. So it was March of 2023 when Pluto first made its first entry into Aquarius. And so we're kind of in a swing year as it's doing both things, both Aquarius and Capricorn. That's when a lot of the COVID mandates lifted, you know, and people started to come back into their I guess modified reality after having gone through that for several years. Right. So 0 degrees of Aquarius was very connected to COVID. We had Saturn and Jupiter at 0 degrees of Aquarius, when they first came together at the end of 2020, that's when the vaccines were first announced. And then the restrictions started lifting when Pluto came into that. So we're having some developments that are more kind of global that are happening. But you know, there have been other political, geopolitical developments that have been going on strongly this year too. And so they may be highly activated as Pluto makes that move in, but it's going to be doing this thing back and forth, just as Pluto is still trying to move out of Capricorn during the year. Yeah.
Mm. Wow. So exciting times ahead.
Yeah.
or something.
Interesting times. Exciting, interesting. These are sort of like, we're not going to qualify which direction they're interesting. In terms of like people who are living, who are Capricorns, who are living through this time. If a person is born, like one of the nice things that's been happening for Capricorn generally is that we have had some energy moving through Taurus, which is the planet Uranus. And it's been moving through Taurus for a few years now, and it's getting toward the later degrees for 2024. And this is really exciting for people who are born under the sign of Capricorn. It means that if you're born in the kind of the last week of the sign of Capricorn, which would be anywhere around the 13th to the 19th, you're going to have like, you might be feeling really, really invigorated about things. You know, you might be feeling like, okay, I can feel alive in new ways or exciting new things maybe coming forward. And because that kind of coincides with the ending of the Pluto, which is late Capricorn, and we have this late Taurus thing going on, they're in a nice configuration in the sky. So I'm hopeful for what may be coming for the year for everyone as a result of that. A few years ago, like between 2013 and 2017, those two planets were making terrible angles to each other. And you know, if people were, you know, sort of experiencing that in their own life, they were having all sorts of challenges that were happening. And I think we mentioned at some other point on some other podcast about all the concussions that were happening to people at that time. So that people were, you know, losing their jobs and their relationships and their houses and their health. And it just seemed to be for the people who were having it, it just like sort of took them out at the knees. Well, now these two planets have sort of changed their arrangement with each other, and it's more harmonious. So it means that somebody who is being affected by the Pluto or the Uranian energy is going to have support from that other planet rather than to also be challenged by that other planet. And so, so it means that I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for how things may develop for anybody who's in a state of transformation. This is across the board. This is not just exclusive to Capricorns. But anyone who's in a state of transformation this year, I'm hopeful that it could be a really powerful, energizing, very exciting kind of development for them. It's more likely to be that now than, say, in 2013 to 2016, where it was more likely to be extremely challenging and difficult kind of transformation. So that to me, if we're having some things rearranging in the world, maybe there's a glimmer of hope here that things could improve somehow. So I'm a little bit on the overly optimistic side, but you know, which is kind of sacrilege in the Capricorn season, but that's my hope anyway. That's my hope for the upcoming year.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to lean on your hope because, we need more of it. So thank you for that.
Yeah. If we can all hold a vision for something better, then maybe we can all have something better. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Crystal Eves, I love you so much. You're going to stop by next week for our Christmas episode.
Yeah, I will.
Awesome. Sure will. Awesome. Yes. Love that and love you. Thank you so much. Anything else to say about Capricorn season before we go?
No, that's all I really wanted to say. Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. I love you. We'll see you next week and then we'll see you again next year.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye. And now from talking about the longest night of the year, we are sitting down with Dr. Patricia Rennie here to talk about winter wellness. Hi, Dr. Pat. How are you?
Hey, Paul. How are you? I'm really good.
Okay, really quick, because you just finished a 60-day self-care journey. Sum it up in 5 words or less. How was it?
Oh, my goodness. 5 words. It was challenging, but it was rewarding. I learned a lot about myself. And I'm looking forward to the holiday season, but I'm also inspired for January to continue to make changes that will increase my longevity and my ability to live better longer.
I love that. And that's your thing, live better longer. Yeah. I love it.
Adding life to your years, not years to your life.
Yeah. Yes. Now, speaking of, we are in a couple of days, it's going to be the longest night of the year, the winter solstice. We've been in the darkness for such a long time. But with that, you know, our bodies are not doing what they were doing 6 months ago while we were prancing around outside in the height of summer. So we're talking about winter wellness today. What are some really important things that we need to know about taking care of our bodies this time of year?
Okay. Wow. It is. It's deep and dark and cold, and so many people want to hibernate. I mean, we're not bears. We are not bears. We do not need to load up on calories and hide inside for the entire winter, but it's certainly what we feel like doing some days.
Yes.
And I think that's, you know, that's the natural rhythm. I mean, certainly where we live in this part of Canada, then that's the natural rhythm where the days are getting shorter and colder and the nights are much longer. So, yeah. It takes a lot more effort, I would say, to maintain your physicality during the winter, particularly your physicality outside, right? I know that you don't like to go outside when it's cold and dark, but we're Canadians, right? So I think it's really important to maintain your exercise level and just figure out how you're going to do that, that you enjoy doing it, that you want to do it, and you can maintain it, whether it's in indoor class, an indoor bike, a treadmill. I'm still gonna go out every single day with my dog and I have appropriate wear that I'm not cold. So I think that's really important to make sure that you have the tools you need to keep doing what you're doing. Because I would trade a warm, cloudy day in winter for a cold, sunny day any day of the week, right? Because that bright sunshine hitting our pineal gland, it just makes you feel so much better. So even if it seems like it's dark out, getting out and getting those sun's rays, even through the clouds into that pineal gland, are so important for our circadian rhythms. So activity level, don't let it go by the wayside. I have so many patients who are like, oh, it's too cold to go outside. Oh, it's too hot to go outside. Just go outside.
Mm-hmm.
See? Yeah,
Dominic wants to go outside. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to hear the end of it until we go for our 1 hour probably, walk.
I didn't say the W word. Too funny. And then I think it's really important that we, you know, because we are inclined to slow down, and that I think that's totally, it's totally appropriate to slow down and be a little bit more internal and a little bit more, you know, relaxed and internally focused. But not to increase your calorie load when that's happening, right? So also the we're very much, or we should be naturally inclined, as the world's becoming more yin, the world's getting darker, colder for us, we should be eating more yin foods. So yin building warming foods. So stews and soups and roasted vegetables, warmer foods. Like if we didn't have the food delivery systems that we have, so much of what we see in the grocery store would not be available to us at this time of year. If we were living on what we could grow in Ontario, well, minus greenhouses, we'd be eating potatoes and onions and garlic all winter, right? So just focusing more on those sort of root vegetables that have stored food underground for the winter for us, and nuts and seeds. And for the people who love salads, then making sure that you have some cooked, roasted, warmed elements in the salad so that it's not all completely raw. Because in Chinese medicine, we talk about cold raw food damaging the spleen, and the spleen is one of the major digestive organs in Chinese medicine. So people who have a damaged spleen will be bloated and have loose stools and lower energy. So warm cooked foods. So maybe you have some roasted squash in your salad, some cooked chicken in your salad, some salmon in your salad, some cooked eggs. So it's not just all raw foods then.
I love that you mentioned that, because I'm a huge, like, once it's too cold for me to go outside, I stop salads. I mean, I'll have one every now and then, but like you said, I like to have something warm on there because I can't do cold things in the wintertime. Yeah. Even my smoothies and stuff. I mean, I'm not heating them up, but like, yes. I take my stuff out of the freezer and I let it sit on the counter before I blend it up and take it. So it's room temperature at least, instead of,
yes. And I certainly have a lot less smoothies in the winter. I can't eat oats anymore, but obviously oatmeal is a great warming food to have in the winter for breakfast. But when I do make a smoothie in the winter, then I try to add some warming elements like ginger and cinnamon, mm-hmm. so that at least there's a bit of a warmer energy coming into it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, our first conversation that we had when you were on Heart to Heart last year, you corrected me where I said, let's boost our immune system. You said, no, let's balance. So let's talk about some of the things that all the stuff that you've already mentioned is going to be super beneficial for our immune system, yeah. because it will keep us in balance with nature. But what are some other things that we can keep in mind specifically related to the immune system?
So just in terms of, I think it's super hard, at least in the environment where you and I live in the winter, to get all of the nutrients that you need from your food. So vitamin D, we did a whole talk on vitamin D. So from this time of year, well, even like October until April, even if you go outside naked and stand out there in the sun in December, you can't make vitamin D because the angle of the sun has changed that it's not going to penetrate the skin. So there's a good 6 months of the year that, you know, no matter what we do, we're not manufacturing. And people think, oh, I was outside all summer, I have enough. But I just really need to hammer home this point that, number one, get your levels tested, because we need to know where we're starting from. And number two, supplement accordingly, and then test again, because this is a big issue that's come up. So a lot of these things that people have been doing for immune boosting since the big virus hit 3 years ago, vitamin D and zinc, supplements are not without the potential for harm, right? If we overdose them, if we take them when we don't need them. So vitamin D in particular has toxic levels, and I see people are just like gobbling it up since the virus, but they've never tested their levels, so they don't know where they are. And they can go back to that podcast and see what the optimal levels are. But zinc, everybody takes zinc now for immune boosting. Zinc is great at the beginning of a cold or flu, especially if it starts as a sore throat, because zinc inhibits viral replication. So if you have those zinc lozenges that you're sort of sucking on and you're holding the zinc close to your throat for a little bit, that's great for a cold that starts as a sore throat, but just generally through the body, good immune support. But if you've been taking it every day for the past 3 years, and you haven't been taking any copper, zinc will deplete copper in the body. So you should probably get your blood levels of zinc and copper tested if you're doing that, and or take a break from the zinc and just take it when you feel something started and you're actually sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So look into that, the zinc, the vitamin D, vitamin C. I typically just take 1,000 units of vitamin C every day because it's very hard to get that kind of quantity from food. And that, you know, the recommended daily allowance for vitamin C is like 60 milligrams. That's just enough to keep you from having scurvy. So we really okay. want, like literally, right? That's what the yeah. recommended daily allowances are, just to keep you alive. They're not to keep you healthy. So just because you're eating an orange every day, it doesn't mean you're getting enough vitamin C. So I ramp those things up if I feel something coming on, if I'm getting sick or people around me are sick. But every day I would do, you know, 1,000 units of vitamin C typically. So C, D, zinc, and then probiotics. Probiotics are really important for balancing that immune response, TH1, TH2 immune response. So I don't necessarily take them every day. I might pop one in my smoothie when I have a smoothie, but that's a good thing to keep in mind, even if you haven't had anything that you think is disturbing your microflora recently.
Mm-hmm.
And then staying hydrated. So maybe it's harder to drink the cold water in the winter, but hydrating with teas, warming herbal teas like ginger. I love ginger tea all winter long. That's what I drink. But any good herbal tea, just to make sure you're still hydrated, because it's when, you know, we've got the heat on, the environment's dry because the air can't hold the moisture. And then we sort of dry out. And as soon as you have an opening in the nasal passages, the mucous membranes, then a virus can get in. So you want to make sure you stay hydrated. And then that brings me to our omega-3s, right? So fish oil to keep all the cells lubricated. And winter is a nice time, especially for kids. Winter is a nice time to do cod liver oil instead of just regular omega-3, because cod liver gives you a little bit of vitamin D, vitamin A, which is really good for the immune system and the mucous membranes, and the EPA and DHA. So cod liver oil is great for kids in the winter, and it doesn't taste like it used to taste when our parents used to take it. Cod liver oil is really, you know, they've really figured out how to get the benefit out of those oils without the taste, and they mask the taste. So don't worry about that. They're really good.
Okay, awesome. I know you're also a huge fan of hot cold therapy. With your trips to the Scandinav or the Nordic spas. And that's still something that is beneficial for us to do in the wintertime, correct? Even though it's outside. That's the one exception I'll make about being outside in the winter.
You will? Okay.
Is if I'm soaking in a hot tub.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I thought you were. The hot tub piece is easy. I can, yeah. And it's one of the reasons, you know, I never wanted a hot tub. My husband wanted one so much, and he uses it every single day, summer, winter, all year round. I don't know anyone who does it more than him. But it's one of the things I love about it, is that it forces me to go out in winter and walk through a really cold environment to get to a warm one. My difficulty is like doing the rolling in the snow thing after. I have made attempts. I'm not quite amazing at that yet, but that's a big goal for 2024, right? Is the working on that hot, cold.
Yeah.
Because it's so good for our immune system, for our circulation. And I love, it's kind of related. So hydrotherapy. So there's lots of indoor hydrotherapy treatments that you can do if you start to feel a bit of a cold coming on, a bit of a runny nose, ear pain. Then the cold socks or warming socks treatment is really good for that. So you take a pair of cotton socks, your sporty cotton socks, run them under the coldest water tap you can get, bring them out, put them on your feet, and then dry wool socks over top. The wool will insulate, keep your feet warm. You go to bed, all the circulation from up here gets drawn down to your feet to warm up your feet. So the sore throat, the runny nose clears up while you're sleeping, and then you can sleep. You're not, right? And wake up in the morning with nice dry feet. And if you do that at the very beginning, day one, day two of a cold starting, you will often just abort it.
Oh, interesting. I love that. So many hot tips from you today for our winter wellness. Is there anything else? What would you say is out of all the stuff that you've said, or maybe something you haven't said yet, is kind of I know you like balance, but if there was only one thing that somebody had the ability to do, what would you say is number one for winter wellness?
I think taking the vitamin D because
Taking
it's
vitamin D.
impacting every single cell in the body. And I really encourage people to go back and listen to that podcast about D because it's so, so, so important.
And there's a lot of great information, and I learned so much about vitamin D that I didn't know about for that conversation. So thank you so much for that. Dr. Pat, are you coming by for Christmas?
Yay!
Yay,
Cheers!
the next time we see you, it will be for our holiday special, and I can't wait to sit down and have a little chat with you over some vegan eggnog. Or do you drink regular eggnog? Are we putting alcohol in our eggnog yet? 60 days of self-care.
I can. I have to decide if I will, because I have to like figure out where I'm going to spend those in those, what do we call those? Those exciting little things that we put in our life that we don't overdo them, but we do them just enough to make us happy.
I love that. All right, well, I'll have it ready for you if you want. Otherwise, we'll just sip some tea. I love you so much, Dr. Pat. We'll see you next time.
Okay, see you soon.
And here we are having our morning cup with Jackie Talley. Jackie Talley, this is our like official last meeting of 2023. I know we have one more coming up next week. That's our bonus episode. But this is our last episode of Life in Tights with Jackie. So, how are you
Right.
doing?
Well, it's almost Christmas, and it's time to for me to get my rear end gear
Oh, I
and
love this
get
little
it
boy.
done. But I'm trying to, just take one step at a time and not get overwhelmed. So I'm okay. Yeah.
I don't even know. We're recording this in the week that Mercury goes retrograde or went retrograde, and I just feel like I got my butt kicked this week. But like not like like I'm not crawling my way out of this week. I'm just walking out of it like, oh, thank God that's over, you know?
Yeah, me too. It sort of took me by surprise, even though I was planning and doing things in advance. Yesterday it kind of hit me that it's too much. I've got to, trim it down, slow it down. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love that. This weekend, so when this episode goes out, so the past weekend is my last kind of festive weekend before, we get into the holidays and it's all family stuff. But like the parties, the multiple parties that you have to go to, that ends this weekend, which I am looking forward to. I love it. I'm excited, and also I'm looking forward to just kind of hibernating for the next
Me
little
too. Yeah. That's
bit.
my reward.
Yes, the hibernation.
I went to a party last night and sat in Santa's lap, and he asked me,
Oh.
"What did I want for Christmas?" And I said, "Free time."
What was his response?
He
The
said,
elves
"Well,
can't make
he
that.
said you'll have to be a good girl."
Oh, wow. Okay, this sounds a little bit more flirtatious than, but I like that. Yeah, free time. You know what? I'll take it. I'll take it as well. I mean, blessed that we have all these options that are filling up our time. And then also, how lovely is it to just have some freedom? What do you like to do in your free time? Tell me, like, if Santa gave you all the free time in 2024, how would you spend that time?
Oh goodness, I have so little of it, it's hard to say. But something I like to do is to just, I call it wandering. So to not have an agenda, not have a list, and just kind of wander. I could go in this room and I see, okay, I'll, look through this stack of magazines, or go in another room and say, oh, yeah, maybe I'll watch that show on TV. So just having those random options, which is something that I don't usually have or don't think I have. I probably do have it, but I don't recognize it.
Do you like to wander? Like, Excuse me, are you primarily wandering in your home and being around there, or do you go out and wander sometimes, whether it's like a
I
walk in
go
nature
out
or a
and wander
mall?
some, or even driving. Like I usually have to leave the house, go straight to where I'm going. So maybe I'll turn in another direction, or maybe I'll just kind of slow down and look at the scenery and or go to a mall and kind of wander in and out of stores.
Yeah, I like that. You know what? Put that on my list for 2024. I want to have more time to wander, or more, because even if I don't have that time to wander, like you said, going from one place to the next, I already know I'm going there, but maybe I can wander my way there.
Meander
Oh, I like this
or
word.
mosey,
Yes, mosey
mosey on
on.
over.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Yes, sign me up. Subscribe to that for 2024. I like it. But speaking of 2024, because you know we're going to go into the beginning of the year stuff that happens in the fitness world, and not just in the gyms, because this kind of mentality of January 1st of get into shape kind of thing exists, not just in the gym, it exists everywhere, right? So one of the things that I was kind of playing around with in my head last night, and I learned recently, and I just shared this with you, I'm a verbal processor. My therapist told me that, and I'm like, oh my God, that makes sense. I wish I knew that before, various relationships and friendships and partnerships that I've had. But anyways, I'm a verbal processor, so I don't have it exactly out yet, but I thought maybe we could talk it out a little bit. Is I'm kind of focused on my languaging that I use in my class. Like, I'm not one that subscribes to no pain, no gain, although there is a fun little like a fun little saying that I like to say for leg day when I work leg day in the gym, and that's no hurt, no tight skirt. And I thought you'd appreciate that. So that's like, well, that's my motivator. I'm like, no hurt, no tight skirt, meaning, you got to work your legs good. So, although that still isn't very much aligned with my philosophy of why moving our body is so important and why resistance training is important, et cetera. But I just think it's cute. But just languaging and how we refer to our bodies, how we refer to movement, and how we, not only refer to our movement, but how we feel about our movement, right? Like the example is, on Thursdays, I teach two power yoga classes at two different places. And I catch myself from time to time, because power, we're focused on a little bit more strength. There's generally, we hold postures for a little bit longer. So it does have like a workout element to it. Like, your body is definitely going to feel some sort of strengthening in a power yoga class. And I catch myself every now and then, like if we're like yesterday, for example, we did 90 seconds of lunges up and down, and you get to like the minute mark and you're like, ooh, you feel the heat building in your legs, and then like I crack a joke like, oh my God, we're gonna blow our legs, or we blow an ass cheek, or oh, you feel that burn or whatever. And I was thinking even that might be a little bit too. Like, I feel it still perpetuates that idea of, oh my God, working out hurts. Because then when we got on the second side, listen, I get it, 90 seconds of lunges, but let's get over it for a moment. We're going to do it on the other side. How are we going to show up? How are we going to transcend this? How are we going to come out stronger? But the initial reaction is like, oh no, it hurts. Oh gosh, I don't want to do that again. You know what I mean? So I'm just kind of like trying to think of like, what can I focus on in 2024 to reframe my languaging around everything? I don't want to eliminate the fun, but I still want to encourage people to look at their bodies and look at their movement differently and come from a place of love and excitement rather than, begrudging or whatever, thinking of something as being grueling. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think you almost said it all.
That's me verbal processing.
What I see is that when there's a new person, whether it's a dance class or an exercise class, a new person who hasn't exercised or moved their body or even been aware of their body for a while, they're a lot more sensitive. And they may take what you say as a, you're joking around with the regulars, and they may take it, you know, in a different way. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how you change your language for that, but I do think that these new people need to get into their body. And if you say arm, if you say lift your arm or extend your leg, you know, all of those to me are body cues. And it then your brain says arm, but, you know, leg. Mm-hmm. And now I'm thinking I have a leg, I have an arm. And but then there's another thing that I thought of. Shannon Fable did a great little short video on the ACE website the other day about telling people in the beginning what you're going to be doing so that they'll know how to budget their energy. So, you know, you don't just throw this out there and, you know, like, am I supposed to do the most work right now, or do I need to save a little bit for another one that she's going to throw out at me? So that's, I think that's really important, that, and I, as a student, want to know that, how am I going to budget my energy throughout the class? And I think with cueing and what we say and how we say it, I think it's really important. And I've tried to remove the things that might be more intimidating, and I'm not sure right now what those things would be, but it's like no pain, no gain. If it's not, it's not doing any good, and those kinds of things, because I don't think people need to hurt themselves. But I do think that as they move along and you're educating them, they need to understand what overload is. So as a general fitness principle, you don't get any better unless you do a little bit more. You don't have to do a ton more, but you're going to do a few more reps, or you're going to keep going for a few more seconds. And it doesn't have to be a lot, but just a little bit more, just to challenge yourself. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's helping any, but those are my thoughts right now.
Yeah. Well, I love that. So let me ask this question, because you hit it right there. Like, overload is an important principle when it comes to fitness. Mm-hmm. So how can we encourage our participants to lean into the overload, to not be scared of it, but to be like, I'm curious, how many more could I do when my body wants to stop? Right? Because there's this quote that I used to hear a lot, one instructor say is, I'm trying to remember it exactly, but something to the effect of, your body loves this, your mind tells you otherwise. So like, our bodies are designed to move, right? So our body loves to challenge itself and go into this overload, but it's our mind that says, this hurts, can't do it, not, no, right? Like, yes, there are times when the body's going to be like, no, this actually physically hurts. It's not good for my joints or whatever, you know, that does exist. I don't want to say that, you know, that's not a thing, but we have to kind of like, we have to encourage our participants to discern between what is my body actually saying, no, stop immediately because I will die. And what is my body saying, whoa, I haven't felt like this before. And the mind going, oh my God, this is bad. It hurts. Stop.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think one thing, if I were the participant, I was in a weight training study one time, for old women. it helped me. I knew we were going to be doing heavy stuff, but it helped me to know how many I was expected to do. Then I could do my mindset and pace myself so that I could do that many. And if the trainer said one more, you know, I could say yes or no. I could do it or not do it. So I think all of that is teaching people to listen to their body and to just have that mindset of, this is what I'm going to be doing. I'm in a fitness class and we're going to be working, and it's not like going on a picnic. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a little bit of discomfort, but I can manage it. I can do this, and I'm with my friends and we're having fun. Mm-hmm. So, I ran out of words.
Well, I love that. And that's something that I'm going to kind of focus on for the next little while is, that like sort of like pre-framing everything. Mm-hmm. Hey, mm-hmm. This is what we're going to do today. I mean, I do that for the most part, but I think I like this idea of not only pre-framing the physical stuff, but pre-framing the mental stuff. Right. And saying, hey, it may feel like it's a challenge. Watch what's happening in your mind. Watch what's going on in your thoughts. Notice that point where your mind wants to pull you out of it, and see if you can stay in. That's probably your point of overload. See if you can stay there for another one extra rep or two, get what you can out of it. I like that idea.
Yeah. And I thought about the one rep max. You know, it's called a one rep max for a reason. It's mm-hmm. how much you can lift or do for one repetition.
Right.
And then everything is based on that. So when people come in and they're so gung-ho, they're probably thinking, I'm going to do a one rep max 100 times.
Right.
No.
No, so, yeah.
It's what's in the mind, and it's education. Mm-hmm. Telling them, you know, this is very heavy. This is going to be very heavy. But you can do it for one time, or we mm-hmm. want to see, okay, that was 85. Can you do 95? And so on. But I guess what we're talking about is that there's a lot of mental work and education that needs to be go into this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's absolutely it. I like that. You've given me a lot to reflect on, and I'm going to, I still have some processing to do, but I'm looking forward to bringing that in. My big thing is I just want people to love their bodies and love what their bodies do and love how their bodies do it.
And feel good when they're moving.
Exactly. Like, 'cause otherwise what's the point? I mean, I mean, a lot of us disassociate from our bodies because it doesn't feel good to be in our bodies. So let's go into a movement experience, find out what feels good, and then celebrate that.
Yeah.
All right, let's do that. Jackie, I love you so much. We're going to see you next week for our special holiday episode, which I'm super excited for, because we're going to reflect on 23 and talk a little bit about intentions for 24.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
So I love you. You look gorgeous. I love your cherries in the snow. And we will see you all again. Listeners, thank you so much for listening. That is it for 2023 and our Living Spiritfully podcast. Remember, next week, our bonus episode, you're going to hear from all of our co-hosts. And we'd love to hear from you. So send us a message, me at paulgaloro.com or wherever you're listening to this, right in the comments or on Spotify. Tell us what you think about the show. We love you. Jackie, I love you.
We'll love you, again. Paul. See you later.
Bye.
'Spiritfully' podcast is a Spiritful production. Executive producer, Paul Galoro. Co-producers, Claudia Miko and Catherine Stilo. A big thank you and much love to you, the Living Spiritfully community, for liking, subscribing, sharing, and supporting this podcast.